The Lord be with you.
If
life is a journey, how do you know when you've arrived? How do you know when you've made it? Well, maybe, like Peter, James, and John, you'll get invited up to an exclusive mountaintop retreat with Jesus. And maybe on that mountaintop you have an incredible mystical experience where you see Jesus face change, begin to shine with the glory of God. Maybe that's when you know you've arrived. Or maybe on that mountaintop, suddenly your clothes, they begin shining dazzlingly white, even though there's no Clorox anywhere up there. And you think to yourself, wow, I'll never have to do laundry again. I have arrived. Or maybe it's on that retreat, it's not just Jesus you see, but it's two of the greatest heroes in your culture, Moses, who led the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt, who parted the waters of the Red Sea, who received God's commandments on a mountaintop. You see him standing beside you, and next to him is Elijah, who took on his own government to end idolatry, who called down fire from heaven against pagan priests, who was caught up in a whirlwind and carried up into heaven. Maybe when you have these A-listers at your side, you can say to yourself, I have arrived. I have my heroes of faith. I have shining mystical experiences, and I never have to do laundry again. What could be better? Maybe in that moment, on that mountaintop, you, like Peter, say, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, to say, if life is a journey, this is clearly our destination. We have arrived. Why leave? Or maybe you know you've arrived when Jesus takes you down the mountain the next day, like he did for Peter, James, and John. When he takes you down the mountain to a valley and you find yourself jostled by a crowd of people all vying for your attention, and there's a father begging you for help as his son is writhing in convulsions, shrieking and foaming at the mouth, and you can do nothing to help. Maybe that's when you know you've arrived. And if you say, no, that's the very place we're trying to leave, well, then maybe Jesus will say to you the same thing he said then. Oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I remain with you and bear with you? Because you see, what Jesus is trying to show his disciples is that on the mountaintop and at the valley bottom is in fact the same place. And to understand why, you have to understand that when Jesus took the disciples up the mountain, they saw all these fancy things. They saw the shining lights and the classy clothes, and they saw the names that are written down in history. But what Jesus was actually showing them on that mountaintop was two failures, one named Moses and one named Elijah. You see, Moses, sure, he led his people out of slavery in Egypt, but his goal was to lead them to the promised land. And he doesn't. Moses gets them out of Egypt and he gets them into the wilderness and he starts giving them God's commandments, and the people, they keep grumbling and complaining about his leadership, about how God never provides for them and how they expect Moses to deal with all their problems. And you know what? Time after time, God comes through, but eventually, after years of this, the people complain so much about a specific thing that God has always dealt with in the past, which is that they are short on water. And so Moses goes to God and says, God, what should I do? And God says, well, Moses, go talk to this rock. Just tell it what I say you should say to the rock, and it's going to provide everything you need. But Moses is so angry and frustrated with what he has been called to do, with the people he has to deal with, that instead of listening to God, he goes to that rock and he does something that he had done years ago that worked back then. He takes his staff and he whacks the rock. And you know what? Water does come out. But in that moment, God said, you stopped listening to me, Moses. Your frustrations, your worries, your anger, they have weighed you down. And because you stopped listening to me, Moses, you won't get to make it to the promised land. Oh, you can go up a mountaintop and you can see it from a distance, but you won't get there. Moses fails at the very thing he wanted to do the most. And yet, 1,300 years later, Moses appears beside Jesus on a mountain, and that mountain is in Israel. 1,300 years later, Moses makes it to the promised land, not on his own, but with Christ, because with Christ we get where we need to go. Elijah, his goal was to end the pagan queen Jezebel's control over Israel. She was influencing her husband, the king, to worship false gods. And so Elijah made it his goal to end her influence. And he did all sorts of miracles to prove God's power. He called down fire multiple times on pagan priests and soldiers following the wayward king. But no matter how much he did, he could never change Jezebel's heart or the influence she had over Israel's kings. It gets so bad that small voice that's always with you. And when Elijah's finally taken up in a whirlwind into heaven, the king he'd been fighting against his whole life is finally dead, but Jezebel still rules because her son is now on the throne. And so pagan worship is still the norm in Israel. Elijah never makes it to a kingdom where God alone is in charge. But 800 years later, he appears on a mountaintop beside Jesus. And on that mountaintop, Christ alone is king. Elijah makes it to the kingdom of God, not on his own, but with Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who gets us where we need to go. It doesn't matter if you're on a mountain or in a valley, it doesn't matter how high or how low, Jesus gets you where you need to go. That's what the disciples miss on the mountaintop. You see, they're distracted by all the decorations, the lights and the clothes and the names. And they miss what God is actually trying to say, which is why God covers them in a cloud. It terrifies them because suddenly they can't see all that glory anymore. They can't see anything. All they can do is listen. And what God says to them in that moment is, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the cloud goes away, all they see is Jesus. Because not only is Jesus the one who gets us where we need to go, Jesus is the destination. Jesus is the place we are trying to get to. And to understand how that is, Jesus takes the disciples down the mountain. He takes them down the mountain where there's none of those decorations to distract them. But instead, there is pain and suffering. There is a child writhing and convulsing and foaming, and a father who says, "Don't look at all those things. Look at my son. He is my only child. Stop being distracted by the decorations and see what truly matters, because what truly matters is getting this son to his destination, which is back in his father's loving arms." The disciples, they can't see in that moment that that father may seem like he has nothing, may seem like he is a failure, but that father has the same thing that Moses and Elijah have. That father has Jesus by his side. And on the mountaintop or in the valley bottom, no matter how high or how low, Jesus gets you where you need to go. And so Jesus takes that son and heals him and gets him back where he needs to go, into his father's arms. And when he does that, it says everyone was astonished by the greatness of God. And I'll say, I was curious. I was like, I wonder what the greatness of God really means. And so I looked up the word in Greek. We've got a slide for it here. The word that's translated as greatness is megaliotes. I don't expect that to mean anything to you, but I'm going to break down what that word means in the next slide. So it's composed of two parts. Mega, you've heard that word before. Yeah, it means big. Yeah, it means great. Yeah. Leiotes literally means smooth. Everyone was astounded by the great smoothness of God. I don't think this means like he's a cool cat, right? He's so smooth. No. This is an echo of what we heard John the Baptist say, quoting the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 3, verse 5. And we got a slide for you once more. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. It's the same word. You see, in our life, we will have ups and downs. We will have our mountains and our valleys. That is simply what it means to be alive. When we make it to our destination is not always being on a mountaintop. When we have arrived is the moment when we have someone by our side who will be with us on the mountaintops and in the valley bottoms. When we have someone who, when we are too weak, when we have given up because we feel like a failure, who will pick us up in his arms and carry us up every mountain, through every valley, and get us where we need to go. Friends, that person is Jesus. He is the one who makes the way smooth because he is the one who is our destination. For with Jesus, it doesn't matter if we are on a mountain and are in a valley. We are where we need to go. And here's the thing, we get distracted by that. Because you have Jesus with you right now. He's already by your side, but you don't see him because you get distracted by all the decorations, by looking around and saying, well, some people got the fancy clothes. Some people seem like they're real bright and shiny. I feel like I'm at the bottom of a pit. Feels like my family is really struggling. This, friends, is why we do Bible study together. Yeah? Bible study is an opportunity not just to see where Jesus is in the scriptures, it's an opportunity to see where Jesus is in each other's lives. If we just get together and we talk about, hey, what's going on in my life? Well, all we're going to see is the decorations. Yeah? All we're going to see are the distractions. Well, right now I'm on top of a mountain. Well, down right now I'm in the bottom of a valley. But if we share what's happening in our lives at the same time that we study Scripture, what we discover is in the highs and the lows, there is someone who always gets us where we need to go, that Jesus is by our side in the midst of all of it. And that perhaps the person who seems like they're on the mountain with the fancy clothes is feeling empty. And that perhaps the person who seems like they are going through the absolute worst struggles is the one who has the levelness that comes from knowing Christ is with them through it all. When Moses comes down the mountain, people see God's glory shining in his face and they're afraid. And so Moses takes a veil and he covers his face so that they don't have to see what God is doing in his life. And friends, I feel like so often that is what we do also. We say, I don't want to freak people out by telling them what God is doing in my life, and so I'm going to cover it up with a veil. And to a certain extent, that's fair. If you just dump on everyone what's going on in your life, you're going to freak them out. And so what Moses does is he gives people little peeks. He says, all right, I'm going to tell you what God's doing, and then I'm going to cover it up for a while. And I'm going to tell you more what God's doing, and I'm going to cover it up for a little while. But Paul says in Christ, we are called to remove that veil. To let Christ shine in our lives so that when we see each other and we say, well, I thought that person was up or I thought that person was down, what we see in each other is Christ with them no matter how high or low they are. Because when we see that in each other's faces, it transforms us. It transforms us from people who are busy looking at all the decorations that distract into people who see that the destination is by our side in Christ right now. Friends, I don't know where you're trying to get to in this journey that we call life. Maybe like Moses, you're trying to get to the promised land, and you feel like no matter what you do, it's not working. Or maybe like Elijah, you're trying to change this country to worship God alone, and you feel like no matter what you do, hearts won't be changed. Or maybe like this unnamed father at the bottom of a mountain, what you want more than anything is just to hold your child once more in your arms, and you don't know how. Friends, the journey is long and the journey is hard. And the truth is, you may not get to the end of it in this life on earth, but you will get to the end of it in Christ. And when you know that no matter how high the mountain or how low the valley, you have the one who will get you where you need to go, friends, on that day, you have arrived. So may we remove the veil from our faces to transform each other from one degree of glory to the next. Amen.